I had planned to travel, to talk to different artists, to look at work. Of course, like everybody else, I found myself in my home, pretty much confined there. And so things just slowed down, but it allowed me to kind of take pleasure in having that time, in having the slow time to stitch, in having the slow time to read.
Difficult times can both challenge and inspire us. The COVID-19 pandemic can definitely be described as difficult times. This is Random Acts of Knowledge, presented by Heartland Community College. I'm your host, Steve Fast. The Heartland Community College art exhibit, My COVID Year, includes a diverse range of artists working in mediums like sculpture, glass, collage, painting, photography, and much more.
My name is Melissa Johnson. I'm an art historian, and I teach art history and visual culture at Illinois State University. And I have some work in the show My COVID Year at Heartland Community College.
Explain a little bit about your work that's featured in the exhibit.
So my work is based in text and textile, and it's comprised of a number of phrases that I extracted from the writing of Virginia Woolf, who was an early 20th century modernist author. And those phrases are phrases that I posted on Instagram over the year, starting in March 2020. And the phrases that I use spoke to things that I was feeling, things that I was thinking about at the time. And so they're actually in chronological order as you read down that center part of the piece. And then surrounding the text part of the piece are a series of embroidered stitched pieces that I made throughout the year, starting in March 2020 and going up to actually this summer in July. And they're stitched pieces that are sometimes made in response to Woolf, and other times might have nothing to do with Woolf, but are simply pieces I was making during long stretches of time during the COVID year.
Now, did you begin this conversation or inspiration of Virginia Woolf's work before the pandemic happened?
Both of them started before. Dating all the way back to undergrad, when I was first introduced to Virginia Woolf's writings, I have loved Woolf. She's somebody who's been a constant companion for me. I find the way she writes absolutely beautiful. I connect to a lot of the things that she writes about. Probably around 2010, 2011, I was introduced to the work of a Chicago artist named Deanna Frid, and Deanna's book called The Waves, which she made in response to Woolf's novel, The Waves. And it's a book that is embroidered. It's made out of fabric and embroidered with stitches and collaged with all kinds of materials. In a course that I teach on the history of collage and montage at ISU, I taught Woolf's novel, The Waves, as a novel that's built upon a kind of collage and montage structure. Woolf's novels don't have a there might be a kind of linear narrative, but that's not what drives them. And so both of those things kind of came together, and I started to return to Woolf and her writing and to read it differently, more carefully, starting to, as I said, extract phrases that I connected to and thinking about the structure and texture of Woolf's writing and not just a narrative story that's being told.
So was there any particular phrase that really took a new meaning for you or gave a different perspective on the writing because of the conditions of the pandemic?
The phrase, "rolling me over, the waves will shoulder me under," it's from Woolf's novel, The Waves, and it just hit me as something that I felt in an incredibly embodied sense. I don't know quite how to articulate it, except that when I read those lines, when I hear them read to me, when I read them in my head, when I read them aloud, I feel the motion that is described through those words. Yeah, and so I think that phrase started the Woolf Words Project specifically and started me in that process of paying attention to the way in which Woolf writes, the way in which she puts words together in order to convey sensations, but also feelings, emotions, and a rhythm with which we experience those.
During the pandemic, we certainly all experienced lifestyle changes. There was a period where we were locked down, and there was a period where many of us didn't engage in the same way socially. Our work situations changed in many cases. Mm-hmm. How did those conditions change your approach towards your artwork? I don't know if there was a different situation that you found yourself working in, or maybe just everything surrounding that situation. But did you see yourself having more opportunity, less opportunity, a different approach, or less inspiration to create?
Well, a lot more slow time. And I think part of that is because in spring 2020, I was on sabbatical. So I wasn't teaching. I had that semester in which to do my own research, in which I went to New York City actually in early March, right before everything shut down, to do research in the papers of the City Company Theater that Anne Bogart founded, and some plays that Bogart and City Company made in response to the writings of Wolfe. And so because I wasn't teaching and I didn't have to make that transition from in-person face-to-face to online teaching, I found myself with even more time than I imagined and a very different kind of time. I had planned to, for example, to stay in New York a lot longer, but I had to cut my trip short and come home earlier. I had planned to travel, to talk to different artists, to look at work. And I found, of course, like everybody else, I found myself in my home, pretty much confined there. And then when I was socializing, spending a lot of time with people on Zoom. And so things just slowed down. I don't think it really changed anything, but it allowed me to kind of take pleasure in having that time, in having the slow time to stitch. I also knit, in having the slow time to read, to write, and to think about all of that. So I'm bringing my own research in here too, my academic research, because I see the two projects, the academic research and this making, as actually integral to each other. When I'm writing, of course, and reading, I'm thinking about stuff, but sometimes I hit a block and I can't get to words, or I need to pause and wrap my mind around ideas. And so I find that when I stop and I stitch, or I think about Wolfe's words through the Wolfe Words Project, it activates a different part of my brain, but it allows another part of my brain to still keep thinking about the other stuff I need to keep thinking about. And I found this happening throughout my entire life. I mean, I just remember when I was working on my dissertation, I was also up walking a lot. And I would, while I was walking, I would have these breakthroughs of ideas of how I wanted to tackle something in my academic work. And then when I'm doing academic work, oftentimes I'll think, oh, look at this idea. What happens if I try and work through this in the stitching, or how does this affect the way I'm thinking about the Wolfe words that I'm extracting? During that spring 2020 and the following summer especially, things slowed way down. And then in the fall, when I went back to teaching and we were entirely online, the making, the stitching, the Wolfe words project was in some ways a kind of relief, a time to slow down in during a life that on Zoom that felt incredibly, sometimes very hectic and disorienting. And for me, and I know also for my students and for my colleagues.
I was going to ask a little bit about what you alluded to in that second part there about when you went back to teaching. I think for many, the uncertainty of the pandemic, the fear of getting sick, the fear of your relatives getting sick, the change in the life that many of us had, the change in the economic situation that many had that relied upon an mm-hmm. open society caused a whole lot of uncertainty and anxiety. But some of the things that you talk about that you did in your work, the stitching, knitting, doing something and having the opportunity to slow down and contemplate.
Mm-hmm. And kind of sit with those feelings and examine them rather than, I mean, of course, I stress about them. I have anxiety about them, but the stitching and the other work allows me to kind of sit with them and just, I think about them as it's something I'm kind of holding in my hand and can hold away and look at and somehow figure out ways to respond that might be helpful to me and productive, not just with work, but in my life in general.
You talked about how you were inspired to think about some of Virginia Woolf's writing during the pandemic in a different way. There was one thing in particular with the waves that inspired you. Did it make you want to go back and revisit any of the other work you'd done in relation to that? Or did you find that entire project is sort of more malleable? That
the other thing I can say is that all of my work on Woolf is grounded in, well, the making, but that's a parallel practice along with my academic writing and scholarship on Woolf. So I am working on a project in which I'm examining the work of contemporary artists making work in response to Virginia Woolf. And that started with discovering Deanna Frid's book, The Waves, around 2010 or 2011. Since that time, I have discovered a group of, well, there are many, many artists who have made work in response to Woolf, but I think I'm focusing on somewhere between 15 to 20 different artists. And I've written about them, given papers at conferences. And in 2016, there was an exhibition at the university galleries at ISU called Strange Oscillations and Vibrations of Sympathy. And it was an exhibition in which that featured the work of women artists in response to women writers, and mainly contemporary women artists. And I wrote an essay for that exhibition catalog about contemporary artists making work in response to the writing of Woolf. So it's been an ongoing project that keeps, I think you used the word malleable. It's intertwined with each other, the making and the writing, since around 2010, 2011, and it just keeps developing. I'm continually going back and looking at previous writing I've done about artists making work in response to Woolf, but I'm also thinking about how the work I'm making continues to respond to Woolf, both in the Woolf words and the stitching, and in my writing about Woolf's writing, and also about the artists who are making work. So this ends up, sometimes this project feels like a kind of octopus that has many, many tentacles. In my head, it all makes sense, but trying to put it into words and explain all the pieces, how they fit together and how they're going to fit together, can be a little challenging. And maybe that's because I'm not sure what the final project will look like. And I'm okay with that, actually. I know what the different pieces look like and what they can be now in terms of making and in terms of publishing, but I don't need to know how this will manifest itself even, 5 years or 10 years. I think of this as a long-term project.
Well, how do you feel about the overall exhibit, your piece in it, and how it fits with the other artists that are involved in My COVID Year?
It was a real pleasure to be asked to include my work in the exhibition. Most people know me as an art historian and not as someone who is a maker, unless they follow me on Instagram and see what I'm doing there. And it was a real pleasure to be included among all of the other artists, many of whom I know and admire a great deal. Yeah, I'm happy that the show happened. I visited last week and got to see people's responses to it, and was really pleased by how all of the work was touching different people who come into the gallery while they're at Heartland, and allowed them to kind of share what they were thinking and feeling during the past year and a half or so.
Well, great. Melissa, thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us about the exhibit and your piece that is featured and your overall work. Thanks for talking to us today.
You're welcome.
Melissa Johnson is an associate professor of art history and visual culture at Illinois State University. She was featured in the Joe McCauley Gallery exhibit, My COVID Year. For more interviews about art, history, creativity, and much, much more, subscribe to Random Acts of Knowledge on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, or wherever you found this one. Thanks for listening.